Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Grace Learning Lab. This is podcast 4 as part of the Grace Learning Lab. Pastor Stephen and I have talked about grace coming from God's perspective of who God is, what God did, and we have been talking about it in the first time just from the human perspective, kind of how does grace interact with us as humans and why do we need it? So we're going to kind of continue that today. We have two parts to this thing. And the first part is simply this question: what makes it hard to experience God's grace? So his grace is available. It's there every day. What makes it hard to experience it, to live out of it? All that stuff. Yep. I will roll imaginary dice.
Whee!
And Jill, it's you.
Okay. Well, one thing for me, the biggest thing for me, I think that's a challenge in experiencing God's grace is distraction, specifically in the form of productivity. I am wired to be a doer. I like to do things. I like to accomplish things. I always have a list or 12, and generally it's the first thing that I think about as soon as I wake up. And so I wake up, and if I'm not mindful to sit first and, you know, be dialed in on who I am as a daughter of the King and receive grace for my day and his kindness as I walk into my day, if I'm not mindful of it, then my mind immediately jumps to what's on the list today, what do I need to get done, and how quickly can I get started so that I can feel accomplished and feel like I'm being productive. And so it's a struggle for me because I like to get things done.
What's mindful of it?
Just be aware.
Do you do that through just praying, just reading a scripture, just saying the same thing in your head?
Yes. So if I start my day having quiet time, intentional quiet time, where I'm sitting with the word, I'm praying, I'm listening, my day goes very differently. Okay. Because then, you know, I've heard it explained once, as these concentric circles. So the center of the circle would be who we are as beloved, like our identity as beloved. And then all the circles out from there are kind of all the different hats we wear. So the first circle is I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, those things. And then the outer circle from there is what I do for a living, who my friends are, what I do for fun. So if I start my day from the center circle as beloved, then my priorities are rightly ordered in my day. If I start my day from those outer rim circles, then I'm maybe never getting to that center, being reminded of who I am, who my identity is in first. So on days where I start from a place of beloved, my day is ordered differently. I start out of the gate with a different mindset of this day is a gift that God has given me. Lord, what do you want to do in me and through me today, in my calendar, in my list, rather than just jumping out of bed and going, and now we have this and 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 moving on. So it's just, that's a struggle for me, is being productive. It's a distraction.
That sounds like you, Tinsley.
so much. So
that hurt here. Here.
Yeah, he's not, if you don't know.
Yeah, people, so I'm a model of productivity achievement, as my wife would say. No, I mean, I think distraction, we talk with students all the time that the enemy wants to distract you from God, distract you from him, and he wants to distort truth, and distraction is one of these great things. There's a part of me that gets distracted by a list and by trying to get, but for me, I tend to be more distracted by whatever shiny thing has come along It's like, look, squirrel. And I, you know, I get distracted by that. I get distracted by my phone a lot. I think everybody in our culture does that. We can kind of get wrestled in there. But the principle stays the same when you're distracted. I like the way you say that. When you start from that center circle, however I need to do it to start from that center circle of this is who God is, this is who God says I am in light of who he is, ooh, that changes my day.
It does.
And it changes my interaction with the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I would just say amen to both of those. For me, it's not so much productivity that my brain will get racing on, but it is, I do tend to, I think it's a strength and a weakness really, is to live in the 30,000 foot level of life of what's the big picture and what's the vision and where are we going? And so my mind thinks about those things a lot when I don't listen to anything in the car. I never listen to music because I'm always just thinking about things and
preach.
So that's where my brain. So and often it's not grace and God's kindness toward me and his mercy over me and all those kinds of things. So in fact, sometimes it can be the opposite in the sense of, oh man, I'm not measuring up. I'm not doing this well enough here. I'm not whatever. So the brain racing is one barrier to me that makes it hard to experience God's grace. But then also with your the shiny stuff, the phone especially, where I use the leading edge for me is, man, I just got to rest my brain because my brain is always in overdrive. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to just watch some reels on Facebook, these little short videos that are sometimes funny and sometimes it's like a worship set and sometimes it's like an MMA fight and whatever. Like, and it's just like 30 seconds and I'm just flipping from one thing to the next.
I like that you're old enough that you're explaining reels to people.
This is the thing. Some of our listeners are not going to know what a reel is. And so, anyway, but I am also
it's like
old enough.
Clarifying to yourself, this is what it is.
I'm also dating myself in the sense that it's Facebook reels.
Right.
It's not Instagram. I'm never on it. TikTok, never. Anyway, so all that is to say, I'm with you.
Okay.
That's great. I enjoyed that.
So what makes it hard for me to experience God's grace? This will be my example. I think for me, I'll do it as a pendulum of you know, that I don't even know what it's a pendulum of, but we'll say it this way. Like, there is grace on one side and there is obedience on one side. And we grow up, I grew up wanting to be an achievement person. That's what our culture values. That's what I want to be. And, you know, the Bible says, hey, be obedient, and obedience is a thing. Submit, like, there it is. And so I'm trying to do this, and then I fail. And so now I'm struggling with, well, what does failure mean? Where does shame fit in? Where does appropriate guilt fit in? And grace is over here going, I've got you. You know, I sent my son, he died on the cross, he rose, he's taken this, you are rescued, you are saved, I've set you right, I will finish you to completion, and it's hard for me to reconcile those two sometimes, that grace is here. Sometimes I feel hopeless and helpless, and it's like, well, I know I'm not hopeless and helpless. I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to remind me of grace. And so there's just all of this stuff, and I get, like, all of that for me is hard. Like, and my brain just explodes at times, and it keeps me from experiencing God's grace. Like, you know, I work with students. I think of students when we do this, like when we talk about grace and you talk about, like, to a 12-year-old and you're like, hey, you know, tell me about, you know, like, you like the girl. Tell me about dating, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, they never at age 12, not never, but rarely at age 12 are they having a challenge in like the purity area. But when they get to 17, all of a sudden they're like, why is it so hard? And it's like, well, puberty, you know, and it's like, it hasn't changed. Like his grace hasn't changed his, like it's just, and so all of a sudden, so that to me, I don't know if any of that made sense. Sorry, listener, but that's my brain.
Our role.
That is my brain.
Our role versus, you know, how does our role in it and God's grace and God's work in it kind of work together?
Yeah, right? And yes, and intellectually understanding that is, I think, something that keeps me from experiencing it. But more than that, it's like once I intellectually understand it, to like operate out of it is a different, like those are two, it's often like, oh, I know it, but how do I know it? That was dumb saying, but like you, we get it. We get it.
Yeah, let's move on, Bill. Like, no,
I think it's
save me.
I think it is common for us in the church to think of grace and obedience as opposites or as different, you know, like if in terms of like you said, feeling like, okay, obedience is on me, and so I'm gonna struggle, I'm gonna strive, I'm gonna try really hard, and then I'm gonna fail and not live up to it, and then we can swing back to the other side and say, oh, I need to receive grace for this. And remember that grace is not about, what we can think is, no, it's not about obedience, it's about grace, and it's about receiving his forgiveness. But as Dallas Willard says so helpfully to me anyway, he says, look, grace isn't the opposite or the enemy of effort, it's the enemy of earning. And so grace doesn't mean that we don't strive,
right?
I mean, we still struggle, and there is effort involved, and Paul talks about that all through his letters, and I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, and I struggle with all the energy with which he supplies in me, the end of Colossians 1. So there's effort, but even the effort is enabled by God, like Philippians 1, where Paul says, it is God at work in me to both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. Our desiring what God desires is part of his work in us. It's a gift of his mercy, undeserved kindness to us. And our ability to work and strive and put forth effort is also a gift of his grace that he enables. And he's doing the transforming work in us as we partner with him in it. So it's not that grace means we don't do anything, but the grace, we do things from grace, not for it.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
That's a big difference.
That's a big difference. Yep. And we do it enabled by grace.
Yeah, both of those have kind of gone back to that concentric circle picture of yours, that our identity is found in that. So, Bill, how about you? What makes it hard to experience God's grace?
Yeah, I think for me, in addition to the two things we've already talked about, is this the whole idea of repeat sins, where, yes, God, I understand that you'll forgive me the first time and the second time and maybe even the third time and fourth, but really, are you going to forgive me the 50th time, the 100th time? Here I am again. I feel like I'm back again, asking your grace again for this same area of failure in my life. And are you ever going to get tired of forgiving it, like I'm tired of asking you for forgiveness more? Is your grace going to run out, I think, is kind of the fear. And so to me, what helps is remembering Jesus' teaching on how we forgive each other, where Peter says, should I forgive Jesus? Should I forgive people up to seven times? And Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. You can read it either way. But again, Jesus' point isn't forgive 77 times or forgive 490 times, and then the 491st time, you don't have to forgive anymore. The idea is, as followers of me, what we do is forgive. That's what we do. And we keep forgiving. And if that's what he's calling us to do, then how much more does our Heavenly Father embody that heart of forgiving 70 times seven? And that his grace just keeps coming. So, but it can be hard to believe that he'll forgive me that 491st time or 5,000th time or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and I think, interestingly enough, there's that side of the spectrum, and then there's the other side for people like myself who are perfectionists and people pleasers to say, will you even, if I fail once, is that covered? And, you know, you say, will grace run out? Like, there was much of my life where I couldn't put my finger on it at the time, but as an adult who now knows what it feels like to experience grace on a daily basis and understand that, I think I grew up a little bit with this, there must be a bank of grace, and only God knows how much is in that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the last withdrawal takes place. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to use any, because there might only be a couple. So striving to be perfect and striving to not mess up and striving. And it's like, that is no way to live. It's a horrible way to live. So yeah. You have both ends. It's like that first one feels like the 400th one to some.
Yeah.
But being able to go, no, man, it is this deep well of grace that we can't ever reach the bottom of.
Yeah.
That it's a continual outpouring of his kindness and his love to us. And praise God for it. So man.
One of my favorite lines of any song is that from Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing song. But streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. There's this river of grace and mercy that is constantly flowing from his throne. And we get to stand in this constant washing.
Yeah.
It just keeps coming. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what makes it hard to experience God's grace? We've given three examples. There are going to be a gazillion examples. All of our examples, interestingly, hit on identity. All of our examples hit on dealing with other people. So what we want to do now is we want to give 20, 30 seconds just for you, the listener, to kind of pray through and think through in a moment of reflection what makes it hard for you to experience God's grace. That's it. We're going to give you about 30 seconds. Just kind of pray through, okay, what makes it hard to experience God's grace? All right. So as we come back, we're going to share for about another 10 minutes, and we're going to answer two questions. Question number one is just for us, what difference does it make in your life when you're able to experience his grace more deeply? So we all know that there are moments where we would say we're not living in and operating out of God's grace. And there are moments where we are. And so what is that difference? What is that difference in those? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, I'll go.
I mean, I would say the biggest difference is just who I am as person of, you know, you will experience, I believe, I hope, you'll experience more of Jesus in me when I am really aware of and experiencing his grace on a daily basis. That looks like me being a person of love. I'm kind, I'm patient, I'm interruptible. The list is still there. It probably will always be there, but it's, I'm able to put it aside because it's, you know, I see, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. My priorities are rightly ordered. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more about, kingdom things. When I am not operating out of that, I am stressed out. I'm anxious. I'm impatient. I'm not kind. Sometimes I'll be kind to your face, but inside my head, I'm like, you know. But yeah, it's the
How
fruit of the Holy
that
Spirit.
Happen with us.
I can't
quantify it.
We shouldn't. It's happening right now.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know, JT.
I can take it.
No, but I mean, hopefully, it what it looks like is it's I'm bearing the fruit of Jesus' character in my life, and people are able to see that and go, that's Jesus in her. You know, when I'm operating out of myself, that's generally not the case. That's for me.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a, for me, probably when I am not experiencing his grace in a conscious way or whatever, I can move into a critical spirit pretty quickly. Both towards myself and toward others. And I see it most probably in my kids, where I see them doing something and it drives me absolutely up the wall. And I'm like, what is your problem? You know, like, and that taps into my own shame, because I'm like, if I were a better dad, you wouldn't be behaving like that. And so I feel critical toward them and shame toward myself, and then critical toward them, and it's just this ugly mess of heart space. I don't know.
And you're totally the only one in that boat.
So. I know. I know. It's very lonely. but
you don't know what you're talking about.
Never made a parenting mistake?
Wow. Will you disciple me? Be my guide in that then, because
I
anyway,
sure will.
Thank you. But when I am realizing and remembering in touch with both my desperate need for God's grace that is always there and his amazing provision of it, then I'm way quicker to extend grace to others and say, even to my own kids, yeah, me too. I need his grace just like you do. And man, I want to be part of the way that God extends grace to you. You know, I want to give you glimpses of the heart of God in the way that I interact with you, even in your mess, just like I have my own mess. So man, it's a way different place in my own home when I am living out of grace versus when I'm not.
Yeah. That's
good. I have a tell. It's a pretty clear tell when I'm not living in grace. Now, it's a bit tricky because, I mean, I have a variety of tells, but one of them is just that I cuss. And it's not always some, like, I grew up cussing. You knew me as a teenager.
I did.
I liked to cuss. yeah, I liked it. I was very good at it. Very, you know.
Creative.
Yeah. In the construction. We don't. Anyway. And so it still comes out. And one of the spots where it comes out is like, when I'm not right when I'm not in grace. So it can be, you know, what you said, like in how I perceive people and how I look at people, but it can be as simple as like, you know, I'm making dinner and the spoon drops on the floor and it splatters all over the place. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's some words. And it, you know, it's just a tell. And so I know that I've kind of, you know, I'm not experiencing grace. I'm not in it. And when I am in grace, the same spoon can fall. The same thing can happen. The dog can traipse through it. You know, all of the same stuff can occur. And I'm peaceful and I'm able to have perspective on it. And I can see people. I mean, this is yours too. When I'm in grace, I have the ability to see people as God sees them way better than, you know, than otherwise. So when I'm in it, there's way more of a peace and a perspective on things. And when I'm out of it, it's just, there's just a lot of anger, boiling up and dealing with things. So, so
isn't that great though? I mean, just to think about
my anger. So
yes,
good.
Yes. I love that. But no, just the fact that God has given us tastes of living in His grace,
yeah,
and windows into what it looks like, and what it will increasingly look like as He continues His work in us, that this is His agenda in our lives, as He is forming Christ in us so that we are more patient and kind and humble and have perspective and operate. We're bringing peace and grace into the systems that we're entering more and more. And man, that's the abundant life that He's makes available and that we're going to be experiencing more and more. I love it.
Yeah. Final question is this, just any final thoughts, any quick words of encouragement, anything that you want to have a final 30 seconds to share, mm-hmm. which we, you know, we
mm-hmm. sure
we always take longer. So
want me to go first again?
Do it, Jill.
Yeah, do
go
it.
Go for it. Lead us.
A couple of things. I think one is to just be aware of, you know, think through, spend some time maybe after this thinking through your own what difference does it make when I'm experiencing God's grace and operating out of that versus not? But I think being aware of noticing when you're, you know, living more out of your own strength, but then also being aware of when you start to realize that grace is changing you from within and being able to give thanks for that. And having eyes to see, oh, I am becoming more of a patient person. That's got to be because I'm receiving grace more, you know, I'm just more aware of it, of the gift of God's grace in my own life and how I can be grace to others and be able to point that back, connect the dots back to the giver of that. But also, I would say, know that it's a journey. I mentioned that earlier. It's a journey. And so I think there is a piece of being able to give yourself grace in the journey and knowing that it's God's work in you, like Bill said earlier, that we have a role to play, but God is at work. And I would say keep leaning into that. Learn as much as you can about what God's grace means for you. And just keep you know, going after it, because God is giving it freely and He wants to have you live in the joy and the freedom that it brings. It's his gift to us. It's His love for us in that. So just keep learning and keep growing in it. It'll change your life. It will.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes. Yes, He will. Yeah, a couple things for me quickly. One is I talked before about repeated sins, and if you find yourself there, stuck in a repeated sin, I would urge you not to stay there. Confess that to a trusted brother or sister in Christ, one of us on staff at Hope. We would love to link arms with you and walk together into a life of greater faithfulness to Him, greater obedience, greater freedom from sin. So don't wallow in it. Don't stay there. Yes, receive His grace, but then take steps forward out of that and let us help you with that. And then the other one for me is just encouragement is to not become so accustomed to grace that you think this is what is baseline, that God kind of owes me this, right? I've been healthy and all my family is healthy and I've got everything I need and this is what He owes me, you know? And then if I'm not getting that, then somehow God is cheating me out of something. No, everything is gift. Every good thing is a gift that we don't deserve. And so living in the wonder of that, I love what one guy said. He said, God, I asked God for wonder, and He gave it to me. I asked God for wonder. That'd be my prayer for you and for myself, is that we would live in the wonder of His undeserved kindness.
It's great. I think mine would simply be two things. One, I mean, you kind of both mentioned it, but I think we grow in an understanding of grace. And I do think that's an important thing to recognize, that in seasons of life matter, all of this stuff matters. So becoming more aware and vulnerable to who you are and what you're going through, and allowing God to speak into it and to bring His grace into it, I think is really important. It's not a theological concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a theological concept, but it's not simply a theological concept. We get to experience freedom and joy and mercy because of His grace and the outpouring of it. And so there's that. And the second thing I'll say is this. There's a movie. It's called The Princess Bride. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? I mean, that's, it should have stayed in my head. But no, it's a great movie. It's The Princess Bride. And it is, there's a character. His name is Inigo Montoya. If you've seen the movie, you know this. But at one point, he is on a team of people that is trying to kidnap the princess. And they kidnap the princess, but he gets bested. He gets defeated by the Dread Pirate Roberts. This sounds ridiculous as I'm talking about it. So absolutely. It has a point. We're getting to it. And so he is, if he gets defeated, he is supposed to go back to the beginning. Well, back to the beginning was in the you know, this spot, this little town, and he's in the little town, and he's drunk because he struggles with drinking, and he's drunk, and people are trying to get him out of the town, and he just keeps saying over and over and over again, Vicini, that's the guy who hired him, you told me to go back to the beginning. So I'm back at the beginning. You told me to go back to the beginning. I'm back to the beginning. His friend grabs him and, you know, nurses him back to health. But when I think of grace, often I think of that God is like, you told me to go back to the beginning. And grace is the beginning, like His death, His resurrection, His setting me right. And I have to learn every day, every moment of every day, to go back to the beginning, to realize that it's about Him and it's not about me, and how do we play that out together? But you told me to go back. So I often in my life randomly think of The Princess Bride, and you told me to go back to the beginning. And that's something I can do, is I can go back to the beginning and I can rest in His grace.
That's good.
That's it, everybody. We are done with podcast 4 of the Grace Learning Lab. We hope that you are experiencing God's grace and taking a tiny step into it as you practice, you know, the practices. And as you listen and learn and engage and chat and talk, and we think you're the best. So have a great one. See ya. Bye.